The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the host. We advise you to go and think for yourself.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Clara, Conversations on Shinto, a podcast where two friends and fellow practitioners of Shinto in the Anglosphere, that's the English-speaking world, talk about their faith, its cultural, historical, and other contexts, and try to bring knowledge and community to others. This is episode 10, Been a While.
And it certainly has, hasn't it?
I'm Nairi.
Anyway, yes, hi, I'm Zoe.
It really has been a while. We had a very full and eventful first Gregorian New Year month, and now we're in the Lunar New Year period. And
Happy Year of the Rabbit, everybody.
Happy Year of the Rabbit!
Mm-hmm. Which happened on January 22nd this year. Again, lunar calendar, folks, Chinese New Year and all that jazz. But I hear some of you ask, as well you may, why are we celebrating Year of the Rabbit on the 22nd if by the Meiji Restoration, the first of the year now matches locks up with the Gregorian calendar? That's an excellent question. Doc, do you have an answer for that?
Why do we observe it on the 22nd? Well, because that's the old New Year. Mm-hmm. That is what would have been, you know, sometimes people in work, particularly people who work in academe, will render that as January 1st, even if it's not January 1st. Yeah, the first of the first month is how I like to render it if I'm writing it in English. But the first of the first month is not the same as January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the Meiji Restoration, we shorthand it, and now we have this whole mess.
And to be honest, there is some benefits to shorthanding it to this, that, and the other, given that normally, like, last year, 2022, the Lunar New Year happened in February. This year it happened in January. You take what you can get, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes.
Mm-hmm.
It changes.
That said... Doc, why was that awful pun our title dropped this year?
I mean, apart from us being incorrigible and loving it... this episode has the terrible pun as its title because we're not talking about the New Year per se. We're talking about a holiday that comes immediately thereafter called Setsubun. This is a common observance regardless of one's shrine affiliation.
And what does Setsubun mean?
Actually, I'm not sure exactly how to translate that. Setsubun is Setsubun, but Setsu, season, bun, parting, separation.
Division?
You know, the division of the seasons.
So kind of turning of the seasons here, like from winter to spring, I'm taking it?
Yeah, that's how I would call it.
Okay.
It makes sense because, you know, it's following right after the Lunar New Year. The other thing that, you know, this sort of relates to is those of you who might know some classical Chinese poetry, the Lunar New Year will sometimes be referred to as the spring. Date Masamune, one of his more famous Chinese poems written at the New Year, wrote, "Spring is coming and we gather to compose." It's not that there were cherry blossoms outside, it's that it was New Year.
Mm-hmm.
So Setsubun happens right after that.
Yeah. And how do I even put this here? A lot of the times that I end up, like, celebrating Setsubun, I end up just kind of celebrating it like I would, say, Lunar New Year, which is wearing red, maybe shooting off some fireworks if it's appropriate in your area. Please, again, follow the bylaws of your local authorities, folks.
Please.
Again, we implore you to please follow the rules, keep safe, don't do anything that would get you in trouble. But it's more than just wearing red and setting off fireworks and just finding another reason to celebrate here. It's also scaring off bad luck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the bigger reasons why you end up wearing red for, like, Chinese New Year, why you wear red for Setsubun, because it's still in the same vein.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And the bad luck usually is personified as Oni.
Mm-hmm. And we're not going to get into, like, whether or not that's fair or moral to the Oni here. That's not our position here, folks.
That's a different conversation for another time.
Talk to your local Shinto priest about that, I suppose.
They'll have a take.
Mm-hmm. But the Oni being the personification of bad luck means that they are the ones that are being cast out. And how does one cast out an Oni in this case, Nairi?
You throw beans.
Any kind of beans, or?
I think it's Azuki. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I attended a Setsubun observance.
Yeah, same. Especially with the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Pandini has definitely changed some things.
Anyway. I remember, again, when talking with Olivia Sensei and everything, she also suggested maybe you should try peanuts if you can't get a hold of, like, roasted soybeans, which I think are the How did you pronounce that word?
Azuki.
Azuki. Are those roasted soybeans?
No, that's, turns out I was wrong, it's not azuki, it's soybeans. Fukumame, fortune beans. You know, this is the raw material from which you get the local Sendai delicacy, zindamochi.
Mm. Yep. Is it generally roasted, or is it eaten steamed? Or do you just eat it?
I mean, the stuff that you throw, you just yeet it in, like, my recollection is that you just yeet it in dried form.
Hmm.
Now, there's a caveat there, historically, in one particular region. Not so much nationally, but in the Nihonmatsu area in modern Fukushima Prefecture, the ruling daimyo family's name was Niwa. And if you say Oni wa soto, as you're supposed to do, is you throw the beans, Oni out. It sounds a lot like you're saying Niwa soto, get out, Niwa. So into the 20th century, in Nihonmatsu specifically, there was a custom of not saying Oni wa soto, it was a custom of saying Oni sodo, Oni out. You're getting rid of the particle in the middle there.
I mean, I suppose if you're trying to avoid any issues with the local lord, who probably has a fragile ego, let's be real here.
He was descended from one of Oda Nobunaga's clan elders. I imagine that was probably the case.
Fair enough. But so, Oni Soto, and there was another part of that, like, bad luck, get out.
You're casting out the bad luck. Oni wa soto, fuku wa uchi. Good fortune come in.
Oni wa soto, fuki wa...
Fuku wa uchi.
Fuku wa uchi. Oni wa soto, fuku wa uchi. As you can also tell, folks, it's been a long time since I've actually been part of a Setsubun observance.
But we do our best with what we can.
Mm-hmm. But again, this is just another reason why we talk about this stuff. So, why do we celebrate this?
Well, I mean, for one thing, it is, as with so much else in the ritual calendar, a manner by which we can mark time, you know, a manner by which we can mark seasons. And when you're opening the new year up, as we do here, you know, you want to set the tone, right? You want to set a good standard for the rest of the year. And so, you know, this is part of the, you know, this idea of, like, you know, cat, like, you know, the broadly, we've talked about this in the past on prior episodes, the broad idea of kegare, of defilement, and driving out kegare, cleaning up kegare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a little bit more of a, rather than after the fact, this seems to me a little bit more of a proactive before the fact, laying the groundwork by which you can minimize that accruing. So that's just one reason I see here. There's also, if you think historically, you know, this time of year people are going to be bored to death. They're going to be stuck in the house, you know, because it's the dead of winter and there's snow on the ground. But that gives you a reason to run around. You know, when it's dark outside.
And honestly, that's like, those are legitimate reasons and everything here. Let's be quite frank. Like, why shouldn't we celebrate something in the middle of winter when everything's just kind of a little bit dreary?
Yeah, this is why the Namahage observance happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's mostly a Sendai thing, isn't it?
Not Sendai. That's over the mountains in Akita.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, where it gets even darker and even colder. And the Oga Peninsula in the nooks around those mountains by Hachirogata Lagoon, you know, you've got the cold winds coming out of Siberia, and it gets very dark and very cold. And until the modern era, there was nothing to do. So you got to do something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, people are gonna go a little bit nuts with cabin fever. So similar idea here.
And I mean, honestly, that's. How many winter festivals are like that, you wonder?
Yeah. Krampus and many others, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I also remember from some of my own studies on this here and everything here, that Ihomaki became a kind of a thing here.
Ihomaki. A really big sushi roll, basically, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a specialized sushi roll that you're supposed to eat in one of the, like, lucky directions.
Right, and there's a different direction every year, I think, yeah?
Not entirely sure on that one. Your recollection's probably a bit better than mine. But, so, the thing is that you're supposed to eat this uncut maki roll, completely in the lucky direction, and supposedly you'll have good luck for the rest of the year. And for those of you who don't know what that's going to be like, you're eating a sushi roll like it's a burrito.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except it's not wrapped on the other end. Uh-oh.
Ihomaki. To take the word apart, is interesting. This goes back to one of the oldest benedictions, what we can call it, in Shinto. Which it was used as a mantra for purification for a long time, and some places still is. To kami emi tame, may the distant gods bless us. So the e in ehomaki is blessing. Ho, direction, maki, roll. So it's the blessed direction roll. And you're sort of like, you're pointing in the... I'm just like very quickly looking at this right now, and it's actually kind of interesting also that according to some things I'm seeing, you're supposed to eat it in silence. That is something I did not know.
That sounds like quite a feat if it's especially delicious.
I mean, you know, it would be something of an accomplishment, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the other thing. You're sort of like you said, like a burrito, and you're pointing in the lucky direction. I'm not sure what the lucky direction is for this year, but south-southeast. South-southeast.
Not a bad direction.
I don't know how this is figured, but, you know, there's...
Now it's something involving Omyodo, let's be real here.
I was about to say, yeah, it's probably Omyodo.
Oh boy, we're gonna have to sit down and talk about that one of these days, aren't we?
Probably. But these things, I guess, like, to bring it back, though, like, and also to bring it in back to the idea of a roll, of a cycle, these things have cycles, and so you're sort of, you know, if you can picture, like, a really long sushi roll in cross-section visually, right, you've got the circle shape, and the circle shape is pointing the way. So... yeah, this is another part of how we do these things.
Mm-hmm. And, well, why is it that red scares off the Oni? This is actually something that's kind of bothered me, and I don't think I've ever really gotten a good answer from it.
So, I do not know offhand, however, if I had to guess. You know, think about how, say, for New Year, or... you know, if you go back, You know, taps the sign again, the restoration. If you go back before the restoration to when Shinto and Buddhism were not violently divested from each other for the most part.
Well, the assumption that they were that completely violently divested anyway, given our Ujigami-samas.
Exactly. Like, we're the exception. But if you think about the relevance of the color red in that sort of more syncretic era, more broadly syncretic era, and the fact that your Ujigami-sama's tori and mine are this very bright red, I think the difference is that one of them tends to have red and black and one of them is all red. I'm not sure which. But anyway, the point is, though, that red being associated with the divine, with good fortune, not just in Japan, but in China and in Korea, and I think all the way down to Southeast Asia, too. It's not quite, and I worry sometimes that with some of the, you know, understandable cross-pollination that's happened over the past century, that people assume that, oh, like, you know, they picture like a toreador in a corrida, you know, with the bulls, and they're waving their cape. That's not what we're talking about. You know, you're not getting the silly oni angry so that they charge at you.
You're more just coming out dressed as this saying, I'm not afraid of you.
Exactly. You're wearing the bright color that's associated with the divine, the color of good fortune. You know, sekihan is a festive dish that's eaten at New Year. It's the red bean rice. Mm. Again, good fortune, red color. You know, you're saying, I am invoking positivity and good fortune and better things, and I am not afraid of these potential misfortunes.
So, I guess then another take that we could also probably look at this whole festival in its own right is just trying to have the positive outlook for the next year.
Yeah. Rather than fixate on the oni specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
To think about what can we do to set the tone? You know, how can we take this stand and set the tone?
What do we do to put our best foot forward, you know?
Exactly.
And that's actually a very important thing.
Yeah.
Especially given that Shinto has some auspicious years that are considered... Well, you need to get a special omomori for it. You just need to say, hey, I'm turning this age here. And the priest will just nod and go, okay, here's what you need. And everyone just gets along fine. Being 32 was fun.
Yep. Agreed.
Screaming.
Always screaming.
Mental note on that. Do a little more research on that and make sure that that's its own episode. But I guess another thing that we're also bringing up here is that we are trying to put the new foot forward, or trying new things to make things better in the future. And I honestly think here at Clara, we are trying that a bit ourselves, because if you notice, we took January off.
We did.
We took January off because, oh boy.
You've been very busy, I've been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are changing.
And on that end, I'm honestly wanting to say here to you, our listener, that we are probably going to see about trying to release shorter episodes.
Yeah, shorter and more frequent.
Mm-hmm. Mostly so it's not going to be any lack of quality here, folks. Let's be quite real. Nairi and I aren't ever going to change the fact on how absurd we are.
Very proud about it, too.
Mm-hmm. But we are going to be very much trying to get a better work-life balance in our lives, because there have been some changes on our end.
Yeah.
And that's personal.
Yeah.
Please don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for the better.
I think also some of what we're, you know, what you can further expect from us is that we will begin to be reaching out to some other folks we would like to have on and sort of have a conversation, like a sort of a three-way conversation about certain things, because we have been in these spaces for quite a while now, and there are people whose, I think, input that this space would benefit from. So you can expect to hear some voices other than our own.
thank heaven for that. Not to say that
in the not too distant future.
Not to say that we're any bad or anything. It's just
no.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, folks, we want to see about getting more people involved with Clara here. We want to talk more about how things are, and we want to make sure that we are giving you a better quality experience.
And I think, I mean, I don't know how often you've seen this, Zoe, but I have certainly increasingly encountered people who have either been very surprised that there is anybody doing Shinto outside of Japan at all,
mm-hmm.
or who read about Shinto or were, like, studying it in school, and they mention it offhand, and it's like, hey, would you like a podcast about this? Like,
exactly.
As it exists today? So,
that's kind of where we are.
Exactly. So it in the fullness of time, we have, I think, felt that we need to sort of switch things up and make it a little bit more regular, a little bit shorter, a little bit more, you know, a little bit more...
punchy.
Pointy.
A little bit more... I wouldn't use pointy, I wouldn't even use punchy, but a little more having a hook.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Doc, do we have anything else to add about Setsubun? Though we're actually releasing this a bit late because Setsubun this year was on the 3rd.
Was on the 3rd, yeah. I guess... You know, okay, so... I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of what I've seen from the Konko side about Setsubun. Because, you know, you and I have for many years now known Olivia Sensei, who works at the Yokosuka Shrine. And
big props to you, Olivia Sensei. Thank you again for, well, thank you again for being you, Sensei.
Yes. You were and continue to be a very important force and presence in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff that I've seen Olivia Sensei's shrine on its web presence post about around this time of year regarding showing mercy to the Oni, I think, is an interesting sort of counterpoint to this, because the Oni, you know, it's a little bit, if I dare say, it's a little bit Buddhist in terms of its outlook, because yes, in this observance, the Oni are the personification of misfortune, but even the Oni are sentient beings and, you know, deserve compassion and will one day attain enlightenment.
Exactly.
So, you know, I remember a few years back, you know, the Yokosuka Konko Shrine having a post about, like, you know, message to all Oni of Japan, you are welcome at our shrine on Setsubun. You know, and it was an interesting counterpoint to a holiday that's, like, so focused on, you know, throwing blunt objects and beans and blunt objects at an Oni.
And arrows.
There are some shrines that do arrows, and I will not go any further than that because I have opinions. But, you know, you have to, if you think about it along the more, you know, the broader, somewhat Buddhist outlook, you know, you have to feel a little bit sorry for the Oni because, you know, they have this thing that they do every freaking year.
Yep.
So, you know, here's Konko Kyo, at least at one shrine, showing them compassion. And that in itself has its own place.
And again, this is also tying back to the tapping the sign again, taking the joke as read about the Meiji Restoration, Meiji Revolution.
Right. Right.
This is a very Buddhist Shinto practice, and that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing inherently wrong about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than the modern standard, but you have to question how the modern standard came to be. You know, you can't just take it unquestioned, because, you know, you want to do your due diligence, but also there are some things that rightfully ought to be.
I mean, this is another reason why we open the saying, these are our own views. Please think for yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And with that, well, Doc, I think they can find us on Twitter at the Clara podcast account.
I mean, can they? Because I heard that the DMs are gone and nobody can tweet anymore.
I don't know about that, but it's certainly interesting times, folks. We also have a Tumblr.
We also have a Tumblr. You can find us on Tumblr at Clara Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a little bit off and on talking about other platforms, but for now, that's the extent of it. You know, I'm hoping that as we pick up with, you know, more of a regular production schedule, we can look at other things. But mm-hmm. You know, for now, that's where we are.
And as always, stay hydrated and stay in awe of nature.
Stay hydrated and stay in awe of nature. We will see you next time.